Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
Ryan asked during the break if he could share a testimony, so I'd love to hear your testimony.
We, as many of you guys know, about a year and a half ago, God called us to do a DTS with YWAM. And so we did that starting in January of this year. But there was like a year of preparation going into that and gathering finances. And that was one of the hardest things for me, is because I like to have control of my finances, and I like to have a job where there's income coming in, and I know what's coming next, and I know that there's, you know, retirement out there in however many years. I know that I, you know, in my job I have to get a certain number of years, and I have to get, you know, that has to all come in. And when God called us to do this DTS, He really reassured me that He would take care of all that, and He would take care of the finances, He would take care of the house, because I was really nervous about having other people in our house and everything like that. And as we shared before, you know, God kind of started to line things up, you know, pretty soon after we decided to go with YWAM, the Andersons needed a place to live, and so they were able to stay in our house and rent our house for a year, and that was great. So finances were coming in, and eventually we met with Chris and Tiffany, and we prayed over things, and, you know, as we were in the conversation, I was like, well, we have our home equity line of credit, you know, just in case we need some extra money. God's got that, you know, we've got that backup plan, you know. And then when we came together and you guys prayed for us here, Chris prayed over us that we wouldn't go into any debt over this time period. So, you know, we were like, okay. And I remember, I don't know, a couple of years ago, we were sending somebody else out and we were talking with them about finances, and they were like, well, we want more finances than we need so that we can give to others. And that kind of became a prayer on my heart as well. And so God's kind of been reminding me of that over the last couple of days, because on Friday was the first time in 8 months that I got paid for my job. So that was really good. So 8 months we survived and had abundance for that time with YWAM, and then over the summer where we weren't working, and then back into being in the schools again. But what was really cool is one instance, well, a multiple of instances, but we got to a point where it was in March and everybody was trying to gather finances for outreach. And we were like, okay, we're set. We've been totally blessed by this guy. You know, you're awesome. But there were people in our school that were still trying to pay off their tuition. Like they had, you know, $800 or $1,000 to go just to pay off their tuition. And it was hard because there were some of the guys and some of the ladies in our group that would be so excited. We had a guy named Rocky, and he'd get like a check in the mail for $100. He'd be like, oh, I've got a check in the mail for $100. And it was so cool to see his joy in just getting some of those dollars that he needed. But then he'd go to our leader, and the leader would be like, yeah, but this needs to go to your tuition first, and then it can go towards your outreach. And so that was like, there was a couple of times where people had checks come in the mail, and they were so excited, but then it was like, it had to go to their tuition. And so that was like, Ashley and I started thinking about it, talking about it, like, you know, is there something we can do for these people? And we started looking at kind of the finances, and we're like, well, we could start giving to them, but then we're not sure if we'll make it through the summer. You know, we don't know what we're going to eat in June if, you know, we start giving away all this money and everything. And I don't know what prompted it, but probably the fact that there's a deadline. But God had me do my taxes one night. And I'm doing the taxes, and it's getting close to midnight, and I'm finishing it up, and it's like $3,800 we're getting back.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money. And so I finish it up, put the computer away, get all that done, wake up in the morning, and I tell Ashley, hey, we got this money. She's like, oh, we should pay off Rocky's tuition. And I was like, well, what if we paid off everybody in our school's tuition? And I don't know. Like, you know, that still puts us a little thin for the summer. I'm not sure if that's going to work, what we're going to do about it. But we decided, you know, like, this is really what we feel God's leading us to do. And so I went to the payment office, or the business office, and they had some issues in the business office. I'm not going to go into that, but they, you know, bookkeeping was not their strong point. But I went in, this amazing woman's in there, and I said, hey, can you just tell me how much, you know, is still left for our school for tuition that's still owed? And, you know, she's like, well, I think it's around $4,000. And that's kind of what we had agreed on. You know, we could, you know, we felt pretty comfortable around $4,000. And so she starts going through the books and trying to find the specific number. And first it was, you know, somewhere around $3,800. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. Like, that's how much we got. And then I hear God whispering and saying, you know, what if it's more? What if it's more? What are you going to do? I said, well, we can do a little more, you know. And God starts bringing up the story of Lot into my head, of, you know, Lot talking with God and saying, you know, what if there's 100 believers? You know, what if it gets down to like 10, right? You know. And so God's bringing this up in my head, and I'm like, all right, God, what if it's more? You know, we can do that, right? You can handle it. And it comes up, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but I think it was around $4,400. And I'm like, oh, that's a little bit more. that's another $400. And I tried to call Ashley. I think she was in the shower or something with the kids or whatever it was, getting the kids ready. And she didn't pick up. And I'm like, well, God, you said you can take care of it. So I wrote the check. And as I'm leaving, I'm, you know, handing the lady the check. She's like, oh, this is really nice of you guys to do this or whatever. And I'm like, well, it was the government's money anyways. We just did our taxes. We got it back. It'll be fine. So I go out the door. I'm sitting in the car, and I'm like, I better call Ashley, and I better check and make sure that we have the money in the right place so that the check doesn't bounce. And so I'm looking at my phone and everything like that. And here comes the lady, and she taps on my window. And she says, it's not, she's like, I miscalculated something. There was another $800 or so. And I'm like, well, shoot. That's a lot more. So I said, I'm going to need to call Ashley, see what's up. So I try to call Ashley. She's still working with the kids or something like that. Her phone's dead. I don't know what it was. But I couldn't get a hold of Ashley. And I sit there and I'm like, well, God, you said you could handle this. So I wrote the check out for $800. Went into the lady and said, I'm sorry I told you before that it was the government's money. This is God's money. And here you can have it. And so it was all done. And we were like, we're not going to say anything about this to anybody. We don't want anybody to know. We just, because it would have been weird. And it actually was kind of even weird because I had to fly back here for, you know, to see the kids and stuff like that, you know, that next day or something. Or it was the same day, wasn't it? Yeah. So I flew back here, and that was another, like, $400 or something like that, $300 or $400. So it was like all these things were piling up. And I hear, you know, get text messages from Ashley saying, yeah, nobody seems to care. Or, like, it was, you know, like kind of like, oh, somebody paid it off, no big deal. Or even one person was like, hey, somebody paid off the tuition, but then, like, they didn't pay for the room and board for my kids or something like that. And we were like, oh, my goodness. And, like, there was just some of that bitterness that kind of wells up, a little bit of like, come on, people. And then, you know, and it was already kind of a rough time because I was coming back because we had the student that passed away. And so it was all this stuff mixed in together with it. And, but I got back on, you know, I don't remember, it's Sunday or something like that. And then the next Monday or Tuesday, in my mailbox at the base, there was a little note with an envelope with a statement on it. And it said, hey, I realized I miscalculated again. We now credited $1,200 to your outreach account for the overpayment. So it was back down from around $5,200. So now $4,000, which we were setting. So that was pretty amazing. And just God just showed it, like, you know what? You know, you can put that money someplace, and I'm going to take care of it. And then not only that, on top of it, we had received They gave us like form letters for our outreach. And everybody, you know, it was around $3,000 a person for the outreach. And we were like, okay, we've got the little girls. You know, they're not going to be $3,000. So we were thinking around $9,000, $9,500 or something like that. And we got our form letter, and it was like $11,000. We're like, that's going to push us even further. So we're like, you know, we're kind of on the edge with this money thing. And, well, it comes, you know, about a week before we go on outreach, we're finally, to our leader, we're like, okay, how much do we actually owe? Like, this $11,000 doesn't seem quite right. We sat down, we did all the numbers, and it was around, it ended up being around $7,000. So then it was another difference of about $4,000. And so every bit of that money that we had gotten from the taxes and that we had put towards their tuition was kind of brought back into our bank accounts. And so it was just a moment of his faithfulness, well, lots of moments of his faithfulness and his goodness in finances, and especially something that I was so concerned about previously, and something that was on my heart, and just not, you know, not sure if I was going to be able to provide for the family for, you know, 8 months or whatever. And so God just really brought that back again, the fact that, you know, he brought us through 8 months of no, like, job income, and now we're ready to go. And, like, he's now just placed a huge heart of giving on us that we're like, 10% is not enough. And we've got all these people now that we're like, okay, let's pour into them and pour into them. And for me before, it was like, you know, other people will figure it out, you know. And I wasn't a very generous giver. And so God, through all this, has just transformed my heart just to be a giver. And to he's taken, you know, finances in a part that was something that I worried about. And it's still something that tugs on me a little bit. But he's taken that and just shown me how faithful he can be in those things. So, amen to Jesus.
Thank you, Ryan. That'll preach, man. That's awesome. That's so good. So good. That is like, you know, where the scripture says, where your treasure is, your heart is also. I mean, it's so connected to the heart. Thank you for sharing that, Ryan. And just for the record, you did not go into debt during this time.
Not at all.
And I think, you know, there's something to be said about just that when I remember praying that specifically, and it wasn't something that you just throw out there, you know, as you know, sometimes we do. We have this language, these cliches almost that we pray over people. I think we need to back off of those sometimes, and we really need to be listening. Like, what is it you want to encourage specifically for someone while we're praying, and not rely just on the cliches and kind of that spiritual IQ that we've developed over the years. But let's really lean in, because I think the testimony not only speaks of God's faithfulness in giving and just the idea that, you know, he was willing and able to trust you with that in return, but I think the key in that for me is your willingness to listen and obey. I think that's a key for all of us, just to be attuned to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us about all matters of life, including and perhaps especially in the area of finances. So thank you for sharing that with us. It's really good. So it was 37 years ago. 37 years ago, I was a graduate of Woodland Park High School in 1982. And there had been a transition in the leadership of this fellowship. And my family, when we moved to Woodland Park in 1980, this was the first and only church that we ever went to. And it was First Baptist Church of Woodland Park. And we had met someone, I think it was like the first or second evening that we were in town. We were renting this little cabin on Dwell, and a tiny little thing, and we had kind of crammed our family into that space, and I was just a junior in high school, and we went to, you guys remember that there used to be a Kentucky Fried Chicken in town? So we were sitting in the KFC, which is now where the Mayflower is. And we were sitting in the KFC, and we met someone, I think his name was Rex. You meet a cowboy named Rex, in Woodland Park back in 1980, you're paying attention. And Rick said, y'all should go to the First Baptist Church. So we did. And shortly after, the transition occurred where the pastor, Grant Atkinson, had left. And Richard Lord. So Richard and Debbie Lord and their kids, how many kids did you have back then? Five kids. I remember when you got pregnant with your fifth child here. And I remember Richard just leaning on the podium, and it was up there, and he was just like, we're going to have another. Hey, I want to introduce and welcome Richard and Debbie Lord, who were the pastors when I was a high school student here in this church. Can you believe it? It's been 35 years. I told him this morning, I was like, I wouldn't have picked you out in a lineup, man. Well, actually, you haven't changed much. You just grew a little more facial hair. I remember a trip that we went on together. Okay, so Mike Corman was the youth pastor, and Richard Lord came on, and Mike convinced Richard, let's go on a backpacking trip with a few kids. And it was about this time of year, and I remember it was cold. I remember, like, the water, and our water bottles froze at night, and our boots were frozen, and we're all bundled up, and Richard was on that trip, and you know, you were just a young man back then. You're still a young man, although you're retired a year now. But you went on that trip, and I remember just how fun that was to get to know you in that context. Because, you know, when a new pastor comes in as a high school kid, just out of high school, my entire life leading up to that point, I had been going to churches that were led by men who, no pun intended, they lorded that over us. But you were the first pastor that I ever encountered in my life that became a relational man. And you connected with me and you connected with my family in a way that no pastor had ever done for me personally. And it was very personal. And so Richard and Debbie, I want to honor you. Because there was something that God did by virtue of your presence in my life when I was just a young man. And I probably was only in this church for about maybe a year until I transitioned down to the Springs. But in that year, I would declare, and I have shared this to many when I share my story, I would declare that God used you specifically to put the yeast of the kingdom in my life. Now, we know what that means, right? It's a little bit of yeast, and all of a sudden, over the course of time, it grows and it permeates the entire batch of dough. You were the first man, and I don't even know if you used the language of the kingdom specifically, because here you were a young pastor coming into a Southern Baptist church, right? And you were raised by a man who had experienced the things of the Spirit, and you had come into the things of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit became alive to you. And in ways, you were navigating kind of the culture here and the nuances of what this community was like and what they needed. And yet you were faithful to be a kingdom man in the midst of all of that. And I would just say that for a young Baptist kid to encounter the kingdom of God through a relationship of a spiritual leader, that changed my trajectory. I wouldn't be who I am spiritually. I wouldn't be where I'm at if I had not encountered the kingdom in you. So I want to thank you. I seriously want to thank you. Still remember that goofy hat you wore at that backpacking trip?
Yes.
It had the Elmer Fudd flaps and everything. That was so good. I'm a little emotional right now for some reason. There's been a lot of water that has run under our bridges, right? I mean, we've experienced quite a bit in life over these last 35 years. And we've honestly, we have not said hi to one another since then. this morning in that hallway was the first time in almost 34 years that we've spoken to one another. We've been emailing back and forth. I knew you were coming. We're going to have a nice lunch together. But there's something of God's remembering. We think 30 years is a long time. But for God, His promises over our lives are just as fresh today as they were 30 years ago. And the way that God is faithful, and I just want to say that every promise is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And because we are in Christ, the promises that He has made over your life are as sure today as they've ever been. And we need to hear that. Because some of us, our hope has been deferred. Some of us, we have kind of wondered if, you know, that was just a pipe dream, you know, and it wasn't. God remembers every dream, every hope, every promise that He's ever put in your life. Every prophetic word, every word of encouragement, He's not forgotten any of that stuff. So there's something of God's faithfulness, I guess, that's just in me right now as I'm thinking about you all and just wanting to honor you and just thanking God for you in my life. And so I was thinking about something. I'm just going to segue just a bit. It's really been a fascination of mine over this last 3 months. This summer, I've taken up kind of a new hobby, I guess you could call it a hobby. Tiffany got me a fly fishing rod for Father's Day, Tiffany and the girls. And it's a different kind of fly fishing rod. It's from Japan, and it's called Tenkara. And so it's a single rod that telescopes out about 12 feet and has a line and a fly. It's real simple. And it weighs nothing. It weighs like 2.8. It's less than 3 ounces. Okay, wrap your head around that. This is ultralight backpacker guy, right? I'm all over that. Give me ounces. The whole kit weighs less than a pound. And so I went up fishing in some really high lakes this summer with some dear men, some friends. And again, just that relational connection, you know. We use fishing and mountain climbing and backpacking just as an excuse, really. We could do what we do at a coffee shop or upstairs, but there's something about getting out into God's beauty, getting surrounded by His creation, that just awakens something in our hearts, and it takes down just some of those, that posturing, that posing that happens between men sometimes. And so, the byproduct of taking up this new hobby has been surrounding myself with a different kind of beauty. I'm typically aiming for the high places. I'm typically climbing up to the summits. And yet, what I found in this season was with the fishing, I was actually aiming for the low places. Water has a way of finding the lowest place. And it's really a fascination to me right now. And I know that this is going to be a bit of a use of symbolic language, metaphor. But I love metaphor in Scripture because the way that it paints pictures for us, it's more than just poetry. It actually opens up our whole brain. We're not just thinking logically about the text. We're entering into story. We're entering into picture. Water is important. It's very important symbolically in Scripture, but I think it relates very specifically for us. There's something about it. And I want to read Revelation 22:1. The angel showed me a river. The angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down to the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit with a fresh crop each month. And the leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. This verse right here has really got me this morning. No longer will there be a curse upon anything. For the throne of God and the Lamb will be there, and His servants will worship Him, and they will see His face, and His name will be written on their foreheads, and there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. So I've been just really impacted by this idea of the kingdom of God establishing righteousness. And the word righteousness can throw us in a ditch if we're from a religious tradition where self-righteousness or striving in religious duty to attain some place with God, if that's what we define as righteousness, then the word righteousness for many of us throws us in a ditch. And it can heap some shame on us because we never feel like we're quite doing enough. We're never quite righteous enough. But one of the things that we've been unpacking over the last few weeks is the idea that righteousness and the restoration of all things are one and the same. God making things right. And so Jesus, the King of Glory, has given us an invitation, a mandate really, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He says it will be filled. And I think it would do us well to let the scriptures inform us really what is the kingdom of God and where is the kingdom of God. And this is going to tie into the river. Because the kingdom of God is all around us, in everything, near and far. And for those who have made a life exchange with Jesus Christ, Luke 17 makes it very clear. Jesus says the kingdom of God is not, it does not come with observance. In other words, with those religious ways of like trying to attain a right place with God. Neither will you say, here it is or there it is, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And so, what is the kingdom of God in you? In a phrase, it's really the effectual rule and reign of Jesus. And it's beautifully described in Colossians 1. Can I just have you just close your eyes and let these words just wash over you? This is the word of God given to us through a beautiful description of who Jesus is. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made the things that can be seen and things that cannot be seen, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him, for he existed before everything else. And he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is the first in everything. God in his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you. You know, specifically when the kingdom of God is described, and this is a description of the kingdom of God, really. This is because remember, everything about the kingdom emanates from the heart of the King, King Jesus. And so, more specifically then for us in Romans 14, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. These are specific things. And like I've asked before, you know, can you strive to acquire peace? I mean, that's an oxymoron. Jesus gives what the world cannot give. I give you peace. Joy. Can you strive to acquire joy? Well, we misinterpret that sometimes, and we get pretty good at striving for happiness, but like bliss, that's very fleeting. What about deep joy in the face of hardship and in the middle of suffering? Remember, water finds the low place. What if you're in that low place? Can you experience the river of God's life that is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit? In that low place. He loves to meet us in the low places. It's a gift to us. You know, it's the gift that comes with the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. I mean, what does he say? He says, in your presence, Lord, is the fullness of joy and pleasures evermore. That's where joy is given to us because the Holy Spirit has been given to us. I guess then righteousness. Can you strive to acquire right standing before God? And as we've unpacked, and I won't do that again, but as we've unpacked over these last few weeks, of course, we know that righteousness, just like peace and just like joy, is a gift. And it's backed by one of my life verses out of Titus 3 where it says, when God, our Savior, revealed His kindness and His love, He saved us not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. And He washed away our sins, giving us new life and new life through the Holy Spirit. And He generously poured out the Spirit onto us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, because of His grace. And because of His grace, He has declared us righteous. And He gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. So can we get excited about this? Yeah, it's really good stuff. I love what the psalmist says. And this is His name. The Lord is our righteousness. Now let's let Hosea 10:12 be an encouragement for us. So instead of the word righteousness throwing us into a ditch, let's let the word righteousness be equated to the restoration of all things. And you remember that Jesus, as the judge, is going to judge anything that hinders love. And so the restoration of all things is the restoration of love. So for God to make things right means that God's going to enlarge our capacity to love, enlarge our ability to receive love, enlarge our inspired creative ways of expressing love. And so Hosea 10:12, it's really a beautiful passage here. It says, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that He may come and shower righteousness upon you. You could rephrase that in the context that I'm bringing it. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that He may come and restore all things to you. So back to the fishing. What is it about moving water? I mean, really, the way that the light moves on top of it, the way that it flows, even if you're at a lake, when the wind, just a gentle breeze comes up, the water moves. And sometimes it's like you can see like the wind, because it's not on the whole river or on the whole lake. Sometimes it's a big enough lake, you see like a patch of wind that moves across the top of that water. And it's like, whoa. And it reminds me, you know, so it is of anyone of the Spirit. You know, it just moves. I think, you know, the metaphor of water, it can affect how we seek righteousness. What do you think about the rule of Christ to bring the restoration of all things? And really, how the Holy Spirit brings the kingdom of God to us and through us. Because you remember, don't you remember that there is a river that flows from you? That flows from your belly? And what is that river? It's specifically described in the scripture as the Holy Spirit moving through your life. But you know where the source is? The throne of God. So you are the conduits for the river of life that comes from the throne of heaven now. And so in the same way, the healing that's for the nations and the restoration of things, we get to partner with Jesus in that work. Did you catch out of Revelation 22? Did you catch what it said there at the very end? It says, and they will reign forever and ever. We have a partnership with Jesus where we get to rule and reign with Him in His kingdom as kingdom people. And we get to touch that now. We get to actually go into the low places. That's where compassion, like I spoke of last week, is so key for us, to connect at a deep heart level the compassion of Jesus for other people. And the Lord is going to invite many, many, many of you to enter into people's stories that they wish did not exist, the part of their story that they wish no one would hear about, and the part of their story that they've typically been ashamed to share, and yet for some reason they feel safe with you to share that story. And so I was sitting at a lake this week with a friend. His wife had passed away 1 month to the day. And he was expressing something that he had not felt since his wife had passed. And it was fearful for him. And it was difficult for him. And yet there we are, sitting by the campfire. And he begins to share this. You have to know that there was a part in me that was thinking to myself, okay, what should I say here? That's part of the old tape of I have to have the answers. So when someone starts to share their story with you, and you remember, I have the river of life that can flow out of me, you don't have to strive to make that happen. And you don't have to have the answers. It's enough for you to sit with them in that space, literally. And so the Lord did give me a thought or two, and I shared it with him as we were praying together. And can I just say that when the Lord partners with you and allows you to be a conduit of his life for someone else, there's nothing like it. There's literally nothing on the planet like it. You touch something of heaven at that moment. And no cliche and no, you know, like, oh, this worked last time, sort of like spiritual IQ. You can't pull from that arsenal and experience the same thing. It is so fresh for the moment because you're literally touching and being a conduit of the river of God that flows from his throne. And it's clear and pure and it brings healing. So I guess my encouragement this morning is to remember that you are a gift and you have a river that flows from you and it flows to you. And it's powerful and it's healing and it's restorative and it's part of us seeking his righteousness. That's what we get to do. We get to seek. How are you bringing the restoration of something here? That's what we're seeking. If you're in a spot right now where you're like wondering, okay, God, like this thing just fell apart in my life. This relationship blew up years ago and it's never been restored. Can I just encourage you to go ahead, just like I was touching here earlier, God doesn't forget. And even though that relationship may have fallen apart a decade or two ago, that there can be the restoration of that thing. So what I would like to encourage us to do as a way of closing this out is to begin, maybe this is familiar for some of you, but to begin asking God, this is a way for us to practically seek first the kingdom, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. It all ties together. Can we begin to pray for the river of life to come into specific situations? Kathleen, you prayed that last week. And this is a big thing that sparked in me. I heard that prayer. And I was like, there is something on that. That is so right for us right now. It's metaphoric. We may not understand it. It may not be very practical for some of us. What does that really mean for us? But we can trust the fact that there is a river that flows from the throne of heaven. And it's for the healing, not only of the nations, but for us. We're part of the nations. It's a healing that can be, you know, expressed in relationships and in families and in your work and in all of these things. God, bring the river of life into this. So can we stand and do that together? I'm going to let us just pause for a moment and let it just get real. Like right now, just make it personal. Holy Spirit, you know every story here. You know what people are experiencing and where they've experienced loss and the effects of the curse. And you know that there's been brokenness and the restoration of all things. We would love it to come there. So now you just begin to ask, Lord, would you bring the river of life into this situation, into that relationship, into that challenge, into that lost dream, into that personal struggle? So God, I want to thank you for your encouragement this morning that there is a river of life that flows from your throne, God. And it comes down to the main streets. It's like where we live. And there's fruitfulness there. And there's life and healing there. So I just want to ask, Lord, however that can translate into our specific situations, we want to trust you now, Holy Spirit, to bring the restoration of all things into these situations that are in each of our minds. Come, Lord. And Jesus, as you inspire us to partner with you, as we even now are engaging in that co-labor with you and we get to rule and reign with you forever, Lord, if there is some way that we would be used to bring life and healing and restoration to another, Lord, I pray that this week we would be able to experience that. I pray that we would experience the life that comes from that as we yield ourselves to just let it flow. And so, Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the worship, the testimony. Thank you for Richard and Debbie, Lord. And I want to ask you, Richard, if you would you come up and just pray over us?
For me, what I've heard this morning is God's faithfulness, you know, to you guys. And in the songs that were shared, and I don't know, just sitting here 30 years later just points to God's faithfulness, you know. And the seeds, you were saying about the seeds earlier, that are planted, the yeast, just believe that it's God's faithfulness, not ours. Even when we're unfaithful, He's faithful. And we allow ourselves many times to be discouraged and downtrodden because of our unfaithfulness. And I get that. There's a part of that that's good. But it's God's faithfulness that's going to get us all through. And the more we can learn to just rest in that and receive that and let it be nurtured by other people around us, because we can't do it on our own. We all lose sight every now and then. But putting good people around us, yourself, your family, whatever, that can help carry us. And then you get the opportunity to carry them. So I would just encourage you with that. Let's pray together. Father, we can only praise you for your faithfulness. It's so much beyond our thought, even our ability, Lord. But you continually have mercy on us in whatever circumstance and whatever situation we're in. And you are faithful to fulfill your promises in your time. So, Lord, all the seeds that are planted in each person in here today, the seeds that will be planted, we entrust them into your hands as a faithful creator to accomplish those things in your way. And I would ask, Lord, for you to continue to bless this fellowship, continue to lead them, and make them effective in your kingdom. And bless them in ways they have no idea, Lord. Use our words. Use their words as they go about this week. Use the words that were planted in our hearts today from Chris. And we trust you to use us all to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.